Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting broadcast, podcast, telecast, something cast of Pulling on Heaven with Pastor Gary Zamora. Pastor, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Doing great. I'm not sure what we're doing, but I'm glad to be doing
we're it. Casting something. We're casting. But the only thing we're not doing is we're not casting spells or casting out demons or...
Maybe bread on the water.
Casting bread on the water.
And it will return after a few days.
Nor will we be casting our pearls before swine.
Exactly.
We'll be treasuring our pearls.
We will be treasuring them. I love your energy today.
Oh, man, I'm excited. I'm excited about everything God's doing. And man, speaking of pearls, I was really excited to get to talk with you today about, we got to have lunch a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about some things going on in my life, and that's not what this is going to be about. But you talked about something, seeing yourself from the position that you're already there.
Yeah.
Everybody watching, we all have, whether it's with our family, whether it's with our careers, whether it's with our goals, our hopes, our dreams, whatever we are, we're all looking to get someplace, even right. If it's just looking to get to heaven, right? We're looking to get to heaven.
Yeah.
But it's funny because something that had resonated with me and something I had been conscious before and even had taught about way back in the days of time and destiny was the idea when Paul says, even now we're seated with him in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Like, we're already there. Like, if we had that mindset about our spirituality, how little would we really have to struggle with things?
Yeah.
You know? And so I understood that from an intellectual basis or even from a grand scheme of things. But I believe this word, the Lord has used you to give me so many words in my own life, and I believed it. And then it wasn't even a new goals that you brought up. You just affirmed things that I had believed before I ever met you. So it wasn't like the type of thing like, okay, this is hard for me to believe. It's very easy for me to believe. Yeah. But there's still a difference between thinking you're getting somewhere and waiting to get there, or even one day I'll get there, than what you had said. You got to see yourself as already being there, whether you, what's around you confirms that visually or not.
Yeah.
And that, since we had that conversation, as simple as that is, that's like changed everything for me. And so I wanted to talk some more about that and about how we can get stuck in things, waiting in ways that it's one thing to wait, because obviously if God says, I'm going to give you this house, you'll find the house. And if you don't find it yet, you're still wait. So waiting in terms of something not yet happening versus putting your mindset, there's a difference between just sitting around and not looking for a house and, oh, I'm going to have a house. So I believe I have a house. So I'm going to go look for the house. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be doing the preaching here, but
no, go.
So I'm just talking about as I think, but
learning
that idea. No, but that idea that I think is so fundamentally changes who and what we are when we look at it from being on the inside versus being on the outside.
Yeah, and it's kind of indigenous, we are, to that idea. It's part of who we are. I look at it as the power of his image. You know, it's a nature within us to see ourselves someplace that we may not physically be. God did it when he created the world. The word says he created everything out of nothing that was there.
Mm-hmm.
The phenomena of God's glory and wonder. You know, he created all things by the power of his word. We get in a car today, and today, it used to be back in the day, and now I'm dating myself, you'd get out a map, and you know, you would trace where you wanted to go, and they were a bit cumbersome and probably dangerous, especially if you didn't stop and look at it, and you're trying to look at the map as you're driving, but you trace yourself. So in essence, you'd see yourself there on the map. You figure out where you want to go, and that's the point of reference. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're somewhere down here, but you know, this is where you want to be. So it's our nature. It's a part of who we are to be able to see ourselves where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the nature of God. Let us make man, the power of his image is in us. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. So from the conceptual framework of God creating us, we are made that way. We're made to see us in his image. We're made. And what is his image? Well, it's without end. It's eternal. His image from glory to glory. You can't just say God is one image. God is love. Okay, and that's one image, and within that is kindness and forgiveness and all the natures of love, and then joy and all that that holds, and peace and righteousness and truth, and God reveals himself in all these various glories, but he is a part of everything that we are supposed to be a part of, and since he is omnipresent in a very real way, we are wherever he has told us to believe. Yeah. Him for, or to believe in him. Remember, we're believing into him. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, if you get in this time traveling device, you get into Christ, as it were, meaning you surrender to him, you believe into him, you praise him for it, you see it. You see it. The easiest way to see it is to see yourself in him and know he's already there.
Yeah.
So if you see yourself, God gives you a word and you say, well, you're already there. And since I'm in you, what I'm doing now in this journey that I'm on, this trip that I'm on, is I'm learning all the characteristics, all the traits of what that image is, of who you are.
Yeah.
And we know that. We start a project, whatever it is. Let's say a project in your instance. And you have a projective landing place,
sure.
You know, a point you want to land, where you're headed, the destination. But when you start working out, you as a creative individual, you start jotting down an idea, and what happens to that idea? It just grows and grows and grows, and then I know you well enough to know this, and then it'll branch off in one area, and you're 100 miles an hour down that freeway in that area, and then there's like sundry and various different legs to that one idea. But you gain character from every step of faith you take when you don't see what you're looking for, but you're believing that that's where you are. So you see yourself in the power of his image. God created man, and he said, see yourself in my image. Keep my word, and you'll stay shrouded in my glory. So simple. We just, when you draw a blueprint, you draw out a blueprint, and the house exists in your mind. The house exists in your future, and it's just a bunch of lines on a paper. But you know the dimensions. And if you look at it and go, oh, that's too hard, that's impossible, you just have to start putting down one line. You know, start digging one footer. You have to start somewhere based on what you see. And it's really that prophetic vision of faith that God has given into every one of us, to believe all things are possible. And when God puts a desire in your heart, know and believe this desire came from God. He gives me literally the desires of my heart. And I'm not saying every desire is from God, but when you have a conviction of something that requires your faith and trust in God, you can pretty much be confident that God's put that in your heart. You've seen yourself there.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much easier, instead of carrying the burden of how am I going to get there? You know, what am I going to do? Jesus said, consider the lilies of the valleys. They don't toil. They don't look at them.
Yeah.
Do you see them working? Do you see them out there with a hammer and a saw and a wrench and a screwdriver and a pair of pliers? They don't labor. They don't have a chainsaw. They don't toil. And God's giving us a perspective. He said, and even Solomon, all his glory, he wasn't arrayed like one of these, and they don't do anything. They just trust in me, and they live in the light.
Yeah.
You know, live in the light of who he is. It really is more simple than we can imagine.
Well, you know, as you're talking, I feel like I just got slapped upside the head with a 2x4 by God of revelation of, or not this revelation, but just my own mind revelation, that what we're talking about is Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
Because he said, like you were just quoting, you know, I've made you my likeness and image, and then here comes the serpent. What was the offer is that you are not that yet, but if you do this thing, you will get there.
Yeah.
You know, and if all they had to do is say, no, we already are, I might see God walking and go, I'm not him. I don't look like that. But if they believed it, then all the mess would have never happened. And so that's kind of like, that's really in many ways the only temptation, isn't it? It's the only thing.
To doubt God.
We're not complete in, we're not already everything that he says that we are, and believing that.
Yeah.
And then everything else comes out of that versus trying to get there, you're being pulled in.
I think need is the great destroyer of mankind.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve needed to have some knowledge that she couldn't get from God, but she could get it from the tree he told her not to. The whole power of their relationship with God was to keep his word.
Yeah.
And in that was all the knowledge that she needed, all the knowledge they needed. And the moment that she tasted the fruit, the knowledge she had was the knowledge she didn't need. And the knowledge she ended up with in her disobedience was the knowledge that she disobeyed God for the first time. And it makes you feel like you're missing something.
Yeah.
And need is I think, the great destroyer. When I need this and I need that. That's why Jesus said, listen, don't think about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. He wasn't telling us to be, you know, sluggards, to be lazy, to be, you know, non-productive. But he's saying, see yourself where I've told you you are. First of all, see yourself in my image. See yourself in my likeness. You lack nothing. The word says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It also says now we are complete in him, which is the word perfect. Mm-hmm. We are complete in him who is the head of all authorities, principalities, not, and people will say, well, you are no longer alive according to the word, but Christ lives in your stead. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. We have to go the full route. We have to say, this is who I am. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and we also, I think, when whether it's something scriptural or it's some kind of prophetic word, it's almost like I mean, at least I think I have looked at it from the perspective that's like, even though I know better, the thought is, okay, God says, I see you here. And for some reason, rather than think of God's, no, because God's outside of time, God's literally seeing that you're there, so you're there, versus like, it's almost like, well, I can see where, it's almost like I'm predicting you'll get there.
Right.
Or why don't you go there and I'll help you get there? Yeah. Like as if even like a coach, like I can turn you into a great hitter, right? a great golfer, a great whatever, but that coach is going, okay, I see something in you and I know what I can do. But that's not knowing. Whereas when God's speaking something, whether it's something of the spiritual nature out of the word of God or something of the spiritual nature of our own lives and where we're going, he's seen us. He's seen it there. He's there at the same moment as he is right now. But we kind of think like, okay, I got to get there versus no, you just told me I am that right now.
Yeah.
And learning how to embrace that.
It's Moses in the wilderness.
Yeah.
God tells him what he's going to do. Okay, I think the journey could have been a lot shorter for everybody if Moses just said, I don't need Aaron, I don't need anything. You said, and I'm there, I'm done. But it's that need. I need, Moses said, I have a need. I need to be able to communicate more clearly. And I'm not a good communicator. Need, there it is again. Eve, I need more knowledge. There it is again. You know, it's just that necessity. Cain, he kills Abel because he needs to be in first place. God said, you'll be in first place if you just do what is right. Just keep my word. Just worship me. Stop thinking about what... It's always that need. Saul wants to kill David because he is jealous. He wants what David has. Instead of honoring the King of Kings, instead of honoring God, when you become that individual by faith in your mind, you're going to get there. You will physically arrive there. You can't help but arrive there. But God knows everything that it's going to take to keep you there. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important to God. Jesus said it like this. He said, this is the will of my Father, that you bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. That you're productive, but that it also remains. You can do something really great.
Yeah.
And I used to say, you know, one of the greatest disappointments is having something you really want just long enough to kiss it goodbye.
Right.
You know, that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's learn how to remain there. And that's what God did when he brought Joseph the way he did, when he brought Moses the way he did. God didn't say to Moses, you think God didn't know how Moses spoke? You think he didn't know Pharaoh inside and out, the children of Israel? God knew all that. God was conveying a message to him. Moses, if you'll see yourself in me and see me in your mouth, this whole thing will turn out totally different. Mm. But Moses had to deal with a lot of his doubt. Even when he went back to Egypt, he had to deal with his doubt. So God says, Moses, I'm trying, let me show you something. What is it you have in your hand? Well, God knew what he had in his hand. It wasn't God was inquiring because he was uncertain as to what it was.
What was there?
He made it, you know. He knew what it was when it was growing on a tree, part of a tree. So God said, what is that in your hand? Moses said, it is a stick. God wants Moses to identify it's just a stick. And God says, well, that stick is good enough. So just throw it down. And God made his dead stick come alive. And it caused Abraham to have reverence to his own staff because he jumped back. He was afraid of what his staff had become. Mm-hmm. God's saying, I'll put that same power in you. If they're going to fear the staff that's in your hand that's dead, how much more will they honor the spirit in you that's alive? But Moses had a mindset that he just needed. He was in need. He wasn't there yet. And God finally got through to him, you know, that I am the Lord God with you. And then he became bold. He walks up to the Red Sea and he holds his staff out in this massive sea parts. And the children of Israel walk through and he holds it up so long he needs help, you know, to hold it up. And when he drops his staff, then the army started in advance. When he raises his staff, it's the same with us. When we drop the staff of our conscious awareness that God is with me, and not only is he with me, but where he is, I am. He sees me there, I am there. Because it's not just the physical place that gets you or gets out of that place or out of that time, that season, whatever it is, a job, a home, a, you know, a position in whatever it is, in your field of expertise. It's the mind to be able to enjoy it, to comprehend the value of it, and to maintain it. Yeah. And without that, being there doesn't matter.
Right.
Just getting there doesn't matter. Saul became king. He arrived at that position, but it didn't really matter because he just couldn't hold it. He couldn't maintain that position. Jesus said, the Father is pleased when you bear fruit, and that fruit just remains. And it's seeing yourself there and the journey that you take in your heart, in your head, being there that keeps you at peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll keep you in peace whose mind is stayed on me, who trusts in me. And don't let the geography determine where you really are, but let the Spirit of the Lord, let the Word of God determine where you are. Be at peace in your heart and your mind. You can live just as peaceful on a journey arriving. We my wife and daughters and myself have gone on trips, and we've become just as excited prior to the trip because we see ourselves there. We talk about what we're going to do and what a blessing. You know, we're as excited as we when we get there. I mean, sometimes more so.
Yeah, sometimes you know? You get there and all you're thinking about, I only got 5 days and then I got to go home.
Yeah.
Whereas the whole rush of getting there is way more
part of the joy
exciting.
Of the trip. Yeah. And your anticipation and projection. My wife's a big projector. She's gifted with projecting. I mean, when we lay out a plan for something, she's gifted to project, and she can really discern and project everything that's going to pretty much be laid out and what's going to be necessary in order to make this trip or this whatever this venture is a success in the sense that you enjoy it once you arrive there to its fullest. And you're not met with a bunch of surprises because you didn't project yourself being there. Yeah. And another thing, when you begin to project yourself by faith to what God has said, in other words, you're taking his word at the face value of what it is, the word of God, God has said, you're already there in your mind and you begin to see God can unveil things that you wouldn't have known about if you're thinking, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
I can't wait until I get this. You know, I become stronger. You know, how are you doing? I'm getting stronger every day. Well, you are, but the mindset you have isn't necessarily I'm getting stronger. It's I'm so weak. I can't wait to be strong enough to be able to stand on my own 2 feet.
Right.
You know, what you're really saying. It's not I'm not good enough. But that's why God says we are complete in him.
Yeah.
Who is the fullness of all things. We are complete in him. If you start off there, wherever or whatever God says, you become a part of that because God is there. You're not feigning yourself.
No.
This isn't playing imagination. This is taking on the mind that's going to get you there and keep you there once you arrive. And that's what part of the journey is, trying of your faith. It's God building that inward sense of awareness and insight and appreciation. Mm-hmm. You know, without appreciation, you can arrive at a point it's nothing like I thought it was going to be. That's because you're nothing the way you should have been when you arrived there.
That's right.
That's why.
That's right.
Had you have been the person you should have been in your heart and your mind, you would have enjoyed that arrival more than you.
It makes me think of even Moses' story that you brought up and the idea of him saying these kind of excuses. I need Aaron. I need this. I need that.
Yeah.
Well, and where did that mindset ultimately get him? Not only the 40 years in the wilderness that might've been shorter, but he, at the end, it still failed him. It still caused him to not complete the journey. It still caused him to be frustrated with the people and of that, because he might've, if he had taken the route maybe God had initially intended for him to take in his heart, he would have been in a position to never get frustrated with the people, no matter what they did, in such a way where he's striking the rack. And what happens is God says, well, you know what? You didn't represent me at the very end. And so despite all this kind of stuff, sorry, you don't get to go in the promised land because you don't represent who I am.
Yeah. The image of God, the power of his image, the power of his image. And we complicate the easy way, the simple way, the kingdom of God, the, like a child way that God designed it to be. We complicate it. God doesn't. You know, people say, well, he shows up in the last minute. No, he was there from minute one, second one. He was there before the clock struck one. He's there in the beginning. Jesus said, I'm the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He doesn't show up at midnight. He was there before you woke up. But we have that mindset until we see it unveiled the way we want it to, that it's not happening. And that's a deception.
Yeah.
The moment God says it, we become a part of whatever he's saying. And if we would believe that, if the people would believe that, the peace of being there will arrive right then and there.
Yeah.
So number one, you have the peace that you're there because you know it's going to happen. You know, it really is the doubt that it may not happen.
Yeah.
That robs you of the peace during the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the peace that you know it's going to happen that is the conclusion, so you get to enjoy being there before you ever arrive because you know this is going to happen. It's like a kid. It's like a child. You tell a child, you know, we're going to go to wherever it is, amusement park.
Yeah, we're Disneyland. We're
going to go on a camping trip or someplace that they want to go. We're going to Hawaii or whatever it is. The kid's just excited. They're not thinking about how much it's going to cost or how long it's going to take to get there or, you know, where they're going to be. Kids just like, let's go. Yeah, they go tell all their friends, we're going to Hawaii, we're going to Hawaii. You know, mom and dad say, oh, well, you know, we decided we probably can't afford it, you know. And the child, which is a representative of the kingdom of God, their demeanor changes.
They're already there in their minds.
Because they've been there, and now mom and dad just jerked them out of the future, pulled them back in the past. That's what we do a lot of times to that childlike nature that is innate within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see yourself there, enjoy yourself there, praise God for being there, do as God, be as God was. He said those things that were not as though they were.
Yeah.
And they became. That nature dwells, it abides, it presides within us. It's authoritative, it's powerful. And all we have to do is walk in that nature. And how do you do it? I just praising God that I'm there.
Yeah.
God, I thank you. According to your word, I am there. Now I get to enjoy the journey and I get to collect all the fruit and the grain and all the produce on the journey. So when I arrive, I can stay there. I can stay in the joy of that moment. I can stay in the joy of my anointing, my call. People pray for a business and the business comes, the challenges come, and then they're grabbing their head saying, my, the devil must be attacking, or why did we do this? Or, you know, I wish we had projected. If you'd glorify God before the fact, before you see it with your eyes, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I experience its reality by the word of God. The word of God is true, it's alive, it's yes and amen. Then the journey is different. You have the peace and the joy before you ever arrive, so you have the fruit to maintain once you get there. You have everything you need.
Yeah, and I think that in a lot of ways, I was just thinking, it came into my mind as you're talking about it, it's really the flip side of the coin to believing that our steps are ordered of the Lord. Because if we don't walk in that idea that it's already done, that we're already there, then we can't believe that our steps are taking us there. You know, and then when things go a different way, then we're at the place of, oh my gosh, this is a problem, versus this is literally the path through which I'm at. And because now I know that I'm already there, then it's nothing. It's like I'm living in the Matrix. I understand it's a simulation.
Yeah.
And I can slow down time and bullets don't touch me, or you can be Obi-Wan Kenobi who goes, these aren't the droids you're looking for, and they just listen to them, because whatever circumstance you find yourself, you know that, look, I can be bold in it because God's either going to supernaturally cause the agreement, they're going to let me through, or they're going to shut the door in my face, and that's going to show me exactly that that's not the path that he's taking me through.
It's the next step.
Yeah.
If the next step is to the left or to the right, you know the next step. You won't know until you get there.
Yeah.
It's like you can talk about how something's going to be, but how do you know, unless you've arrived there in your mind, in the spirit of faith, And that's what God said to Moses. He said, I'm going to lead you out, and I'm going to lead you into the promised land. What God was saying is, have the faith that you are there. You have arrived. You will arrive. You are arriving. Any way you look at it, you're arriving, not you're going to get there. You're arriving, or you have arrived.
Yeah.
Or we certainly will arrive. But in any way you see it, every step is part of that arrival. I used to say the journey validates the arrival. Absolutely. You know, it prepares you for it. And God knows if that's where you were prepared to be in that position in a physical sense, you'd be there. Mm-hmm. But it's a promise. The children of Israel, that's where God ultimately wanted them there, but they weren't ready to be there. But God said, you're going to be there.
Yeah.
If you just believe, if they had done one thing, just believe
just
God.
Believe God.
Just believe that what God said would come to pass. They would have arrived. They could have arrived sooner, shorter. But why the long journey? Because they needed to know who God was and whether or not they were going to receive him for who he was or reject him. And unfortunately, many of them rejected him.
Yeah.
But Joshua and Caleb, they received him. The power of Caleb was, he said, I simply believe the word of the Lord.
It was done already.
It was done.
Yeah.
He goes up, he sees it. He sees how powerful it is, the giants there, the fortified walls. They're encamped all around this place. It's not just in that city. And he says, we're more than able. Not only are we able, I've seen ourselves there since the word of God came through Moses. We're there. So, of course, we can go in, and we can do it today. We are certainly able. But he had to silence the people first and say, listen, remember the word of the Lord. Yes, we are. We are more than able. As opposed to the other 10 saying, we're like grasshoppers, and they're going to see us like grasshoppers, and they're going to stomp on us, and there's not a chance. What was the difference? The territory, the geography, it was all the same. It was the concept, the perception of their mind, not the idea that, a conceptual idea that they're too much and we're too little, but God is so great, and God is already there, and God is, it's all about who he is.
Yep.
Again, the power of God's image is the authority to take you every place God wants you to be. And you don't have to wait till you get there to enjoy it. You can start day one, step one.
Well, and what's so powerful, you know, I think probably a lot of people who watch this podcast out there, you know, probably follow the ministry and know that it's prophetically geared. It's obviously Prophetic Fulfillment Church. But not necessarily everyone's got, like, say, something where someone's literally given them, you know, here's a word for your life.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean also that a lot of people still have goals and dreams and God places in your
things
heart too.
They pray for.
But I think even beyond that, there's an application here that's coming to mind, that when you this mindset is really how you walk victoriously just in your day-to-day life. And the word that comes to mind is Paul in Romans, where he says, reckon yourselves dead to sin.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't say, start following after Jesus and you'll start to be dead to sin. Reckon means, like, it's like a mathematical term. It's like equal yourself. So start believing you're dead to it already.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to be through some process of time, because there's no way you're ever going to be dead to sin until you believe that you're dead to sin, that you died with him, you were buried with him, you were raised with him, and that he's alive in you. You have to believe that that's done now, or else nothing else is going to flow out of that.
Well, if it's not now, then when? And if it's because we're doing better, then it's because of who?
Yeah.
So if it's because of who he is and what he's done, then it has to be done now. If it's not of works, as the word says, least any man should boast, and what are we waiting for? What are we saying? The moment that you believe, you're there. Jesus, same thing when he said the kingdom of heaven that you're waiting for to come. You're waiting for someone to say, oh, I found it.
Yeah.
Or it's over there, or it's coming. He said, no. He said, anyone that tells you that, they're describing something that isn't seen that way. He said, the only way you can see the kingdom of God is to see it within yourself. Mm-hmm. It has to be the here and now. It's that way in regards to your growth spiritually. To feel like you're, you know, some people, I can't wait till I go to heaven. Life is, see yourself seated with him in heavenly places. Yeah. Our faith is our connection to the deity, the reality, the power, the omnipresence of God, because we get to believe in him. And he's given us this faith, this incredible virtue, this incredible power, that we can turn it towards him and believe in him. And as he is, the word says, so are we in this world. We can be as loving. We can be as kind. We can be as...
And again, it's not so will we be. is so we are.
So we are. As he is, so we are. Right here in this. What a great gift. That was the point of Jesus coming and saying, listen, yeah, I'm laying down my life. Now, no one did anything any different. I mean, people rebuked him. They rejected him. They were part of carrying him there. He carried the cross in more ways than one.
Yeah.
They didn't nail him to it. He nailed himself. No man takes my life. I lay it down. What I'm doing, the Father's given me power to do. But it was his great love. But the people that were there, they didn't do anything different. But in the moment that they could believe that he was and that he did and that he is, they were changed. There wasn't anything they had to do. And it's the same today. There isn't anything you have to do to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror. And I don't like the word so much of progress. Process. I like progress.
Right. Yeah.
We're not in this like this difficult process of a journey. We're progress. Every day we are progress.
Glory to glory to glory.
Glory to glory, faith to faith. And we just see him for who he is. And then being born of him, we say, wait a minute. As great and glorious as he is, he's made me to be one with him in that spirit and in that nature, the spirit of your mind. Casting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against God. Acknowledge him in all your ways, because I have surrendered my heart and my mind to him. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. He dwells within me. His kingdom was within me. See yourself there. Changes everything.
It sure does.
And it changes right now instead of waiting for sometime later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here to testify about, in the sense that just our conversation 2 weeks ago, and just kind of a light bulb going on in my dense head. And I was able, because I never applied it in that way, but I kind of understood that. I understood from the concept, but now I was able to do it. I was able to just go, oh my gosh. And literally every day since then has been just a different vibe for me. If that is vibe a spiritual word?
It is today. Spiritual vibe.
But so anyways, I'm here. Hopefully this is an encouragement to anyone watching, that the change of where you're at and where you're going comes from believing right now that all of it is finished.
It is.
And that I'm walking testimony in that as I continue forward in the things God's called me, I feel like there's a weight lifted, at least in the sense of almost needing to prove it to myself.
Yeah.
And even though it was something I believed about myself and could be about myself, that it's my whole vision of everything's different. And I'm really excited what God's going to be doing because of that. So beautiful. Thank you, Pastor.
What a joy. What a joy. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Thanks. And everyone, we'll see you next time.